Hello listeners and welcome to another Employment and Skills Hub podcast. Today we're talking and celebrating the Neurodiversity Celebration Week for 2025, which runs between the 17th and the 23rd of March and is a global initiative aiming to challenge stereotypes and misconceptions, neurological differences, promoting acceptance and inclusion in educational settings and workplaces. I'm joined today by Mayan, who is going to talk to us a little bit about where he works and his progression within the workplace. So welcome, Ryan.
Well, pleasure to be here.
So Ryan, could you tell us a little bit and the listeners a little bit about yourself, please?
Yeah, my name is Ryan, of course. I've been diagnosed with autism from such a young age, since early childhood, of course. I'm just trying to fit in like everybody else in this neurotypical world. I just like everybody else, enjoy like movies, playing rugby, golf, popsicles, you name it, of course. I enjoy socializing with family and friends, of course, trying to hopefully be independent as much as possible in the future, of course.
You've been working with us here at the Hub, and specifically with Maria previously, haven't you? She's been helping you to find work. And I believe you've recently started a job. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I've worked with actually two of the people here, of course, Nikki Hughes and Maria, of course, for longer, if you know what I mean, because more specialist with what we got. I've been mainly on offer as a business support with Gloucester County Council. We basically offer administration and business support as part of their preparation for adulthood training with people with special needs, like autism, for example, from post 16 onwards, of course. What it does, it helps you to look at your outcomes, your goals, your ambitions in terms of education, employment, independent living, health and community inclusion. That's a really good thing.
That sounds good, yeah. And can you tell us a little bit about some of your roles you do on a daily basis?
Well, as I said, I mostly handle any other ad hoc tasks they've given me, of course, like handling documentation through, like, if it's Word, Excel, brainstorm ideas during their creative meetings, just to give them an idea of what they could do with the initiative in terms of their advertisement, their products and services, from leaflets, pamphlets, and of course with their local connections with a lot of specialist schools or mainstream schools with people with special needs. But also, of course, I've always worked either at Shire Hall in Gloucester County Council or even at the Skills Zone Village near Tuffley, or even work from home, of course, if it's for their best convenience.
So do you kind of go out and meet with other people with special needs and disabilities?
We have met a lot of specific people, of course, mostly from the Skills Zone, to see the sessions in action, as they partnered up with a lot of people who used to work with Fire and Rescue, or, of course, who were part of it as, like, local volunteers or even people on the payroll, as you could say. We're there from Wednesday and Friday afternoons each and every week as part of the 6-block sessions with students specifically working with. We've done it with special needs from Chosen Hill, St. Peter's High, Five Acres, and even from specialist schools, from specialist places like Gloucester College.
Yeah. So covering kind of quite a wide range across the county then, really.
Yes, definitely it is. I mean, that Skills and Village is very authentic. It gives them that unique idea to handle the outside world in their own comfort zone. Like, if you're buying stuff from your local shop, trying to go to a cafe, doctors, or even, of course, when you've got transport safety in terms of trains, buses, it's good for them in a very safe environment.
Yeah.
It will definitely can be a bit of a stimulator in terms of sensory sounds and noises, you name it, but most of it would cope with it, so yeah.
So if we've got, like, other customers who maybe have a diagnosis of autism and maybe anxious about going into the workplace or not sure where to start, have you got any kind of advice or guidance?
From my perspective, of course, I've been pretty much, because with my high functioning autism, I like to do stuff, and because you enjoy getting into it, as long as these people from the background understand. It's never from my perspective, it was never easy when I was trying to start from other jobs, but I think, from my perspective, if you could just tell them in advance, if you'd like passed your interview or passed the next stage, tell them what your autism or even your parents, carers or support worker can help you into that matter, of course, then hopefully they can understand and if you're looking at workplaces, just research the background, if they're disability confident as well, in terms of equality and diversity. The thing about this is that where I work with Gloucester County Council, we know it's disability confident and they're fantastic. With the people I work with, Sarah Smith, Tim Griffiths, they've been fantastic with me since day one, months ago. When you're going for specific jobs, whether in any area, just be careful because you don't. It just depends on the relationships you have with the people you work with, so yeah.
I know you mentioned a little bit there about some of your colleagues that you're working with. Is there any kind of like specific support they've put in place and for yourself?
Well, they're the lead initiative to part this Preparation for Adulthood programme they put through, of course. But when working with me, they've been very... They basically tell me in advance if there's any changes or anything else going on via emails, by texts, and smartphones, you name it, to make sure, because sometimes I think they don't like any last-minute changes on decisions because it's going to ruin your structure and routine, more or less.
Yeah.
Like most want, but you have to be adaptive and resilient to it. But if they tell you in advance, but they tell me in advance of such things, so I've got no problems with it. But they have been very supportive, not to give me huge amounts of work to do. We're just taking it step by step and pace by pace in your own time, you could say. And there has been no problems since, you could say. So yeah, I'm not saying I'm instantaneous perfectionist on it. It's just mistakes will be made at times. But like I said, need any feedback, generic feedback, criticism, they'll just give it to me, honestly. So yeah.
That's good. Good to hear. And is there any other feedback or any other comments you want to?
As I said before, applying for jobs, interviews will be challenging for a lot of guys with more high functioning autism if they've got more special needs. But keep trying, because you're not alone. Everybody else is in the same position as well, you could say. As long as, of course, is that the support and the environment is in place, hopefully they can enjoy a lot, doing a lot more what they want to do, of course, if it helps them to get independence. Because personally for me, applying for jobs is never easy, and getting interviews was never easy at times, but once you get that foot in the door, hopefully it will open a lot of new doors as well for you. So, yeah.
That's good to hear. Well, if there's nothing else, thank you for joining us today, Fred. And, good luck with the rest of your career.
Thank you.
So a big thank you to Ryan for joining us and telling us a little bit about his story. We're now going to flip over to the employer side and speak to Ryan's employer. And today we're joined by Sarah Smith. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi.
So, Sarah, just a reminder for everybody that we're just doing a little podcast for to celebrate Neurodiversity Celebration Week 2025, which takes place between 17th and 23rd of March, and is a global initiative aiming to challenge stereotypes, misconceptions about neurological differences, promoting acceptance and inclusion in educational and workplaces. So I just wondered, got a couple of questions, and I was just wondering if you could first of all introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about who you work for and your role, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Sarah Smith. My role is Preparation for Adulthood Outcomes Lead. So I sit within the Post-16 Education Team at Gloucestershire County Council. I work alongside my colleague Tim Griffiths, who sits in a different team to what I do. And together we're looking at how we can strategically improve outcomes for young people and young adults with SEN, so that's special educational needs and disabilities, in their preparation for adulthood. So that's looking at preparation for adulthood holistically across employment and education, building resilience in the community and accessing the community, and becoming as independent as you can be and being healthy as you can be.
Thank you. And could you tell us a little bit about your collaboration with Berea, who's been working with Ryan from the Employment and Skills Hub, and how you've helped him to gain employment with yourselves?
Absolutely. So we were given the rare opportunity to have some funding for some business support to help us with our initiatives. We have many initiatives all running alongside each other, and that's in schools, with parents and carers, with young people. So initially we went to the temporary staff service, and the calibre of candidates that we interviewed and we were looking at weren't really hitting the mark. And so I thought of the Employment and Skills Hub, got in touch with the manager, and then I was passed to Maria. Maria made the whole getting to know Ryan and introducing Ryan seamless. So Maria got in touch with me. She let me know that she had a customer who she was working with, who was Ryan, that he would be perfect for the role. Ryan's previous experience is all data science and digital, which is all of the skills that my colleague Tim and I lack in. So from the offset, looking at Ryan's CV, it was an absolute cut above all of the other candidates that we'd been in touch with. So we were keen to get Ryan in as soon as possible for an interview. The main reason that Ryan stood apart from everybody else in interview is Ryan had done a lot of research around preparation for adulthood. He'd conducted his own research around the education team at Gloucester County Council, and Ryan quoted parts of the SEND Code of Practice to us in his interview. We knew there and then he was the right person for the job.
That's great news. And obviously, Ryan's told us a little bit about his role when we spoke to him earlier in the podcast. But from your point of view, as an employer, could you tell us a little bit about what you feel Ryan brings to the team?
So, Ryan brings innovative ideas. He's got his own unique perspective, and he brings innovative solutions. Ryan is your classic think outside the box, but also Ryan conducts research. When we task Ryan and ask him to go and get something for us, Ryan will go above and beyond what we've asked him. So to give you an example, I asked Ryan if he could conduct some research on what information other local authorities are giving parents, carers and young people around preparation for adulthood. Ryan came back with that, but not only that, he came back with where their SEND accessibility as well. So he'd listed all of his research with where they are scored on a specific SEND accessibility site. So Ryan always takes into account the SEND and the accessibility of what we're doing, which is just fantastic. We didn't even think of that.
Fantastic. It's great to hear about how that came about and the skills that he can bring to your team. So if there was somebody who has had a diagnosis of autism or an additional need, what would your advice be as an employer to somebody who's maybe feeling a little bit anxious about where to start or how to get into employment?
So I think one thing that's worked out really well with Ryan and our team is that Ryan's been very honest about what makes him anxious, and we sat down before his employment and we sort of devised a plan, and this was on Maria's advice and guidance as well. So we have had Maria giving us some brilliant advice of how to work together effectively. So we asked Ryan what had gone wrong in his previous roles and why these didn't work out. So we had a clear understanding of where there's been pitfalls in the past. And just so we could all work together so he never has that experience again. So we were very open and honest from the beginning. We found out off Ryan what makes him anxious, what makes him feel nervous, what could we do to help alleviate that. One thing that we did say to Ryan is we understand that you like things to be planned and organised. However, we work with young people and schools, and the nature of working in this area is that things are going to change. So one thing that I would like to say to Ryan, and he did say this to us as well, he likes putting himself in challenging situations to test his resilience. And Ryan's been fantastically resilient with all of the off-the-cuff changes. But no, I think just being open and honest. We also brought occupational health into the recruitment process as well. And yeah, I think just if anybody is feeling a bit nervous, just be open and honest as you can be. Cool. And we're happy to put any reasonable adjustments into place.
That's great. Good to see that being very supportive of those with additional needs and barriers. We obviously know there's a lot of myths around hiring individuals with barriers or disabilities. And off the back of what Ryan's brought to your team, could you give us some advice to employers around this, please?
Absolutely. I think the number one sort of advice really is focus on that person's abilities. Look at what they can do rather than their limitations. By focusing on Ryan's abilities and his skills, he's brought much more to the team than we could ever imagine. So I would number one top advice. And also create that inclusive culture as well. So foster the environment where everybody does feel valued and supported. And that's working really, really well. And partner with organisations. Ryan is, because we do a lot of partnership work with lots of different departments, Ryan's integrating himself into that partnership work as well. So, yeah.
Cool. And is there any other comments or advice or guidance or anything that you'd like to share with anybody?
I just think we... go to the Employment and Skills Hub. If there's ever a recruitment issue or recruitment problem that you need resolved, the experience that the job brokers have at the Employment and Skills Hub is fantastic. And they're the front door for so many Gloucestershire residents that I'm sure they'll have somebody on their list as a customer who would be able to fit employers' needs. So next time, and I have advocated this out to other GCC departments as well, is that if they have got recruitment or they do need some support with their recruitment, I would always recommend going to the Employment and Skills Hub. And not that we want to replace Ryan at all, but if we ever get put in the fortunate position of having some more funding to get more people, the Employment and Skills Hub's the first place that I would go to. It saved us so much time, as well as Maria did everything for us.
Well, thank you, Sarah. It's great to hear of the journey that Ryan's been on. He sounds like he's really excelling at his job and really enjoying it from his conversations we've had with him. And thank you for your time today.
Excellent. No, thank you. I'm really looking forward to Ryan's future with us here at GCC.